Please stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the IBM Tivoli Prospecting Call Series. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Carl Valentino. Please go ahead, sir.
Great. Thank you, Vicki. Hey, folks, good morning, and thank you for taking the time on this election day to participate in what we feel is an important call. And we know it's an optional call, but we appreciate everybody taking the time to dial in and join us to go over some information we want to share with you about helping your customers and helping yourself progress your deals in Q4. Before we start, I want to lay a little bit of context about the spirit of this call. This call was a brainchild of John Frey, who's actually on the call with us today. It's got some great content, and it came about of a conversation that I had with John and recently had with Bob Jones as well. When we look at Tivoli in the Americas for 2008, we look back on three what I would consider very difficult and very challenging quarters. But I think quarters where we do have some bright lights and some things where business has gotten better and we've improved in certain areas. Specifically, business automation over the course of the last three quarters has not been where it needs to be, but has shown progressive improvement quarter to quarter. And as we looked at and we moved out of Q3 and went into Q4, we saw the ability, the opportunity for us to get to plan and achieve the goals that we set for the business set for us in Q4 as it relates to BA and the overall Tivoli business. We've got a great pipe. We've got some great opportunities out there to drive through in Q4. And we looked at what would be the potential reasons why we didn't make the number in Q4, and we came back to two conclusions. One is around lack of execution, and the second is around reality of what we see going on outside our window with the Financial Times, with Wall Street having issues, many of our customers pulling back on expenditure for 2008 and locking down as it relates to credit and cash flow. The first concern we had about execution, every day I get less and less fearful of that. This call is a great commentary towards us as a team being able to execute. I mean, we've got almost 100 people on this call on a Tuesday, optional for everyone to participate. So I don't have doubt, and I have a tremendous amount of confidence in this sales organization that we will be able to execute. And our hope is that the information that we're going to share with you with some subject matter experts will enable you to hedge your bet and hedge our business so that when customers come to you with challenges and they come and say, hey, we've got to cut back on expenditure, that, the experts that we have on the call today will give you the tools you need in order to be able to sell around those obstacles that potentially could be put in your way that inhibit you from progressing your Q4 deals. I've got three speakers on with us today. Cy Englert. Cy is the Tivoli lead as it relates to our ROI or our BVA tool. He's going to be walking through a little bit about how you can use the BVA tool to help your customers understand that delaying investments probably wouldn't be the best course of action, and they should be continuing to move forward because an ROI will help them save. Jeff Bigando is from IBM Global Finance. He's going to talk at a high level of some of the creative things we can do to help our customers deal with financing that IGF is going to challenges, and IGF will be helping them potentially move some of that forward. And from an external perspective, Ann All is participating with us today. She's the editor of IT Business Edge, and she's going to be helping us understand some of the issues and pressures that our customers are seeing from a buying perspective today. Today's call is, as mentioned, going to be recorded, so if anyone needs this information, they can obviously hit extreme leverage to come back to it. The presentation we're going to be walking through today with the three presenters will be is online right now up on extreme leverage. At the end of the – we're going to hold all questions for the three speakers till the end of this call. We'll have a Q&A at the end. And as I mentioned, and as Bob mentioned in his distribution for an invite, everybody who is on this call today will be part of a drawing, a little bit of an incentive, I guess a little bit of a thank you for participating in this optional call on an election day, a drawing for a nice dinner for you and your significant other. So we'll have a drawing, and I'll get that out to the winner at some point before the end of the day today. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Cy Englert, our first presenter, to give you an overview of the BVA, and then we'll move on to Jeff and Ann, and then we'll have Q&A at the end. Cy, you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks, Carl. I appreciate that. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Cy Englert. I assumed the job in January as the Worldwide Program Manager for the Tivoli BVA tool, or the IBM tool for Tivoli. I used to do this. I moved over to Tivoli after the acquisition in 1996 and started doing ROI business cases using the Gartner TCO analyst tool in 1999 as part of a worldwide team. So it's great to be back in this space talking about business value, talking about the value of Tivoli, and delighted that we have a much easier to use tool. And that's the subject of this presentation today. So on slide, I think it's slide five, a little bit about the tool. It was created by one of our business partners. Their name is Alinian. They actually are a company that was started by former Gartner employees. So therefore, they bring like over 10 years experience building tools for business value assessments and for IBM and other software companies within the IT industry. Not just IBM. They actually support Microsoft and HP, for example. Tivoli contracted Alinian to build the first tool slightly over 7 years ago. And as of today, the BVA tool is the de facto standard ROI tool within IBM. It supports Rational, Tivoli, and Optum. There are over 3,000 users worldwide who build over 200 business cases a month. It's also starting to be embraced by the hardware teams, and clearly the users are include the IBM sales teams, IBM business partners, and consultants. They use the tool to estimate the potential return on investment of the IBM solutions. And for Tivoli, that means that we have a way to articulate the value of IBM service management and the benefits of visualizing, controlling, and automating the IT environment. On slide six, is a little bit about what Alinian says is part of our IT industry. That almost all of IBM's deals requires a business case, and that's whether we're engaged with our customers or not in building that financial justification. And most of our customers, based upon my experience, when they're having to do an ROI tool, use some sort of a homegrown spreadsheet and fairly rudimentary and simple metrics. They're certainly not financial gurus. And quite often the sales rep who brings this tool into an account will discover that our customers often welcome that type of information and support that the BVA tool offers. Tivoli has both a wide range of solutions and a great integration story that really continues to be one of the best in the industry. And that coupled with our ability to articulate tangible value is what Sam says can be the secret to our success in both good times and bad. And on slide seven, this is one of the most recent articles published by Information Week last month in particular. The article discusses the challenges that CIOs face during times of economic chaos. We're certainly in that right now. The good news from the article is that companies are not freezing IT projects. They're still spending money, but they're much less tolerant of risk. The article goes on to say, which I think is even better news, is that IT is probably more in demand than ever to drive value out of their investments, improve their efficiencies, and reduce the costs. And the BVA tool is all about articulating that message to our customers. On slide eight, it's clear that everybody in our industry is challenged by a sagging economy. And it's not just a sagging economy, it's a roller coaster. And that roller coaster breeds fear and uncertainty in the minds of our customers. As a result, unfortunately, they're delaying projects, they're taking longer to make decisions and are actually scaling back spending of all types. So our sales challenge then is actually to instill the confidence that a Tivoli decision is a solid investment with acceptable risk and offers the potential of high returns. As a matter of fact, the convincing ROI and a reasonable payback period actually are the impelling reasons to act, since delaying the implementation actually delays the recognition of the benefits that they seek and that they need. So the BDA tool can really help you create that sense of urgency in driving your customer toward a purchasing decision. On slide 9, the key point here is that wherever you are in the sales cycle, you can discuss a return on investment of the Tivoli solution. The ROI tool allows you to build a very simple and concept ROI, which is a really great way to start a discussion and requires just like 4 or 5 basic inputs to build that first concept ROI. A lot of sales teams use an ROI business case also as a more effective way to eliminate, or shall we say, elevate a discussion out of a commodity-based feature and function conversation to one that is more about business drivers and business value. And that's a conversation that C-execs understand and are interested in having with the IBM sales team. So use that as a way to gain access to those C-level type of executives. Of course, it's always great if you can have your technical sponsor deliver the ROI business case and the business rationale up the chain by him or herself. And by doing so, they can actually become the hero within the organization by identifying the tangible ways that the organization can improve productivity and reduce costs despite a volatile market like that we are in. And another key benefit of the BDA tool is that it not only calculates benefits and allows you to add custom benefits to the tool, but you also can incorporate all the costs associated with the implementation of a complete solution, including the hardware and the services that actually will lower the project's risk and improve chances for a successful implementation. Matter of fact, what my experience is the more costs you can include, both real and costs that they're incurring within the organization, the more your customer will embrace the ROI and the other metrics that it produces. Lastly, a successful ROI business case, as I've said before, creates an impelling reason to act. And I think more importantly is that if you've actually gone through the process to work with your customer in developing an ROI and the project is actually justified, whatever license cost that you use in that as part of the cost, there's certainly less reason for your customer to come back and to ask for a price discount. Clearly, in a few minutes, Jeff will also talk about ways that your customer can make a financial investment that's easier to fit in your customer's budget and do something other than just discounting the price. On slide 10, this is probably my favorite slide in the entire presentation. I think the point here is the BVA tool is not a silver bullet. It's an extremely powerful sales tool for those who actually know how to use it. Don't take my word on it. These are testimonies from Tivoli sales reps and business partners inside the U.S., outside the U.S., those selling all pillars of Tivoli, storage, security, and automation. Just try it with your customer. I have never heard of any sales rep losing a deal because an ROI business case didn't fly. So I really challenge you to actually give this a try. You can actually create an ROI business case from start to finish in about 2 weeks. We actually call that when a sales rep delivers this free deliverable to a customer. It's called a rapid value analysis, or RVA. But as you can see here, the testimonies, which I picked out of a whole group, includes everything from shortening the sales cycle to actually addressing this very topic called a worsening economy and economic trouble. So I'll let you read that at your leisure. I think it's really easy to get started. I suggest if you just go to the Extreme Leverage homepage and search on DVA, you'll get all the cross-brand web pages. If you search on Tivoli and BVA, you'll find my webpage that I keep up to date. There are sample reports or ROI business cases you can hand your customer. There's white papers that talk about the methodology. There's training videos, and there's latest news about what I'm adding to the tool from a product perspective and details about how to register. Once you get started with using the tool, the Americas have actually assigned two full-time Tivoli Value Consultants to help you create these RVAs. Their names are Regan Shieldstone and John Eller. Perhaps maybe a lot of you have already heard of them. But outside the Americas, there are a list of contacts on the webpage, and there are volunteers who can help you answer questions and help you perhaps refine your business case. And, of course, if all else fails, send me an email, call me. We really want to help you drive business. I not only answer my personal email, but you can also use an email called roi@us.ibm.com, and that's also the one that the business partners will request their ID from. By the way, the same tool is available to our IBM business partners who are actually building solutions for our customers as well. I want to point out that if there are other contacts just like me throughout the IBM organization, the lady who actually is owns the entire software group responsibility for Alinean, her name is Daisy Santana, so feel free to reach out to her if you need a name for one of the other software pillars. And although I've mentioned that Regan and John support salespeople doing rapid value analysis, there are some times where there'll be a soft cross-brand, larger ELA type of opportunity. And quite often customers will want some customized benefits or there'll be a need for on-site interviews. And generally we direct those requests over to a gentleman from the IBM industry team. His name's Gregory Price. They do a lot of business value analysis as billable services. So those are some more contacts that you might want to reach out for. So I hope that I actually haven't taken too much of the time out of today's presentation, but I really want to thank all of you for your time. Again, I really don't hesitate to write. Don't hesitate to ask for help, especially here in fourth quarter. So I'll turn it over to Jeff Gando from IGF to discuss some ways to make the investment part of an ROI easier for your customer.
Great. Thank you, Cy. For those of you that don't know me, I am the software financing specialist in IBM Global Financing for the East region. I do have teammates that handle the other regions, and they will be noted on one of my slides as well. But a little bit about IGF for some of you who have never heard of us before. On page 13, I'll start. But IBM Global Financing is the world's largest information technology financier. We have an asset base of nearly $40 billion, conducting business in more than 40 countries. We finance hardware, software, and services with a full range of low-rate flexible offerings. We have three main lines of business. Our customer financing business enables IBM customers to finance their total IT acquisitions of hardware, software, and services. IGF's channel financing business fuels growth opportunities for our business partners by providing loans, working capital, and cash advances to finance inventory, accounts receivable, acquisitions, and other business ventures. And third, our IGF's global asset recovery services, or otherwise known as GARS business, provides hardware choice for customers by offering IBM-certified used equipment as part of the IBM solution, assuring IBM quality and maintainability at affordable prices. GARS also offers asset recovery services for the disposition of a customer's IT assets. On the next slide, the current market environment, there has been significant changes since 4Q of 2007. Well, there's been significant changes just in the last 30 to 60 days. Around the world, the stock markets have been on one heck of a roller coaster ride. We've seen the Dow just finish its worst month in 21 years since the crash of October 1987. We've seen the bursting of the U.S. housing bubble and the subprime mortgage crisis, which has contracted liquidity in the global credit markets and banking systems, which was triggered by the failure of mortgage companies, investment firms, government-sponsored enterprises such as Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which had all invested heavily in the subprime mortgages. We've seen large financial institutions collapse, some being bought out and yet others being bailed out or rescued by the federal government. This credit crunch has made access to capital much more costly and harder to obtain for our clients. In today's market, there's no such thing as free access to cash. CFOs are in cash conservation mode. This instability in the credit markets is also impacting our clients' spending decisions as well as their budget planning as more scrutiny is being placed on capital expenditures. As a result, many clients are postponing or even eliminating important investments that their businesses need to grow and remain competitive. Coupled with this financial crisis is a global economic slowdown. And earlier this year, we've seen the federal government pass the Economic Stimulus Act of 2008 to try and jumpstart the U.S. economy. In the next slide, I'm going to explain a couple provisions to this bill that are key for our customers who purchase software by year-end 12/31. On slide 15, is this economic stimulus bill provision, and it provides positive after-tax benefit for all businesses that pay taxes from depreciation on software that's placed in service in, by 12/31/2008. That's an additional 50% first-year depreciation on the software. And certain small businesses can nearly double the maximum amount that can be immediately written off from $128,000 to $250,000 during 2008 and still accelerate the depreciation on the remaining portion that they capitalize. Depreciation expense reduces the net profit on which the client pays taxes. And while financing won't change the accounting or tax treatment that our clients use, financing can help our clients afford to acquire more software now when they can take advantage of the bonus depreciation instead of being limited by budget or cash flow constraints. This provides a compelling reason to act for any company which is making a profit to acquire the software now instead of waiting. Of course, we still need to be careful not to give any tax or accounting advice to our customers, but we can surely bring it to their attention so they can consult their own advisors. On the next slide, the client benefits of financing. Well, now more than ever, our clients need financing. There is a severe liquidity shortage in the market, and the cost of capital is rising sharply. As a result, companies are paying a premium if they can even get funding. Well, IGF is a low-cost alternate source of funds for our clients. Financing frees up cash for other strategic business needs and investments. And as you are aware, software acquisitions can be associated with large initial investments that carry a long lead time before our clients achieve revenue growth or cost savings. A financing solution from IGF can provide flexible payment plans, which can be structured to match budget requirements and to also allow cash flows to mirror expected benefits of the software acquisition. Financing can help our clients acquire the software their businesses need now to help them increase the efficiencies and gain a competitive advantage. The next slide is our current IGF offerings, which are applicable to all new one-time charge licenses, renewals, and software group services. Our premier offering is called our low-rate financing offering, and it offers below market rates because we're getting 3% of program rate buy-down, which is taken above region at the software group headquarters level. That software group is subsidizing our rate. This offering is also open to our business partners, so they all get that 3% of rate buy-down. That's 3% of the purchase price is kicked back behind the scenes to IGF so we can offer a lower rate to our customers. We can offer monthly payments, quarterly payments, annual payments, step payments to utilize budgets in 08 to step deferrals into 2009 to access future budgets. Buy now, pay later, no payments till 2009. We structure all of this so that you get full revenue recognition. We also have our convenient pay program, which is a direct debit program for our customers, and they'll receive an additional 0.25% discount off each financing invoice. You may have seen in previous quarters, we used to have a 0% financing offering. Well, with that 3 points of rate buy down and when our cost of debt was cheaper, we were able to get to 0% financing on a 12-month term with four quarterly payments for most of our customers. But because of the credit crunch, IBM's cost of debt has increased just as everyone else's has, and that 3 points of rate buy down doesn't get us to the 0%. We would need a little bit more rate buy down at the deal level, which would affect your revenue. But most customers, we probably only need about a half a point or 1 point to get to that 0% offering to make it real compelling for your customers. So on a $500 or $1 million deal, we're only talking $10,000 max that I would need out of your deal to still get to a 0% financing offering for our customers. On the next slide, the keys to success to integrating IGF into your sales strategy is engage us as early as possible so we can understand your customer's budget and cash flow requirements. We can structure the best payment plan that meets those cash flow requirements. All we need is the IBM customer number and the deal size, and we can get our credit folks rolling. Even if as you're pricing the deal, try to reserve some rate buy-down. Whether it's at 1 point or 2 points, just try not to give it all away in discount. Try to keep a couple points so that we can buy our rate down and offer a real compelling rate, whether it's 0% or something extremely low. Now, our business partners can also give rate buy down at the deal. So Software Group is kicking in 3 points. Don't be shy to ask the business partner to kick in a couple points off their margin. But when you present a financing solution, you're presenting it in its lowest cost form. You're avoiding the sticker shock to the customers of that large upfront purchase. So always try to lead with a payment plan and just show a payment plan that's at its lowest possible cost form. Engaging IGF is easy. Again, I handle the East region, strictly focused on non-ELAs. My teammate, Kevin McCann, handles the ELA contracts and works with the Software Group ELA sales managers. There are, and I'm on page 19, there's an East region, Central region and West region ELA sales specialists as well as non-ELA sales specialists. And we're strictly software. We handle nothing else but software. There are also IGF territory reps that handle everything that goes into certain accounts. IGF engage us. We can make joint calls. We can, give you the contract to give to the customer. We can meet with CFOs. We're here to help you close business. You know, our clients' future business success depends on their ability to make investments to their businesses that ensure future growth and improve their competitive position. And while many credit lenders have drastically curtailed credit availability, IGF is very much open for business to help our clients acquire the software that their business needs today. Now, engage IGF today, and let's deliver more value to our clients by packaging every software opportunity with a financing solution and finish strong in 4Q. And with that, and I'll now hand it over to Ann Aw, who will give us the insight from the client's perspective.
Thank you. Well, my name is Ann Aw, and I'm an associate editor at IT Business Edge. I am hoping that some of you out there may be familiar with our website. If not, I do encourage you to check it out. Obviously, I'll give a little plug. The URL is itbe.com. And I write fairly extensively about kind of trying to extract the maximum value from IT investments, and in particular to tie IT investments closely to business value. I think that's really the big message here. My big message is obviously that's something that folks should always be doing, should have always been doing, is tying the IT investments to business value. But I think too often that gets ignored. In one of the blogs I wrote recently, I actually compared that to wearing a seatbelt. you know you should do it every time, but maybe you don't. You're more inclined to do it with those kind of negative external forces. In this case, it's the credit crisis. If you're wearing a seatbelt, it's, you know, it's driving with someone that drives too fast, or I'll use the analogy that the other speakers used of a roller coaster. Few of us want to ride a roller coaster without a seatbelt. And I did see this morning, one of the first things that I saw online today, as I was kind of checking out recent tech publications, CIO.com does a survey that comes out every quarter where they ask CIOs and other tech executives about their spending plans. And I think there was some good news and some bad news for IBM partners in this. The bad news is that kind of in contrast to the Information Week survey that was referenced, 40% of folks said they are planning to cut their IT budgets in the next 6 months, and 34% are planning to, you know, keep their budgets flat, no increase. And that is up significantly from the survey they did in July, when the numbers on both of those things at that point was 26%. So obviously you are seeing people react rather strongly to some of what we've seen in our external environment. However, the good news is you're not probably going to have trouble getting your IT spending story out in front of a C-level executive, because 35% of the folks that they surveyed said that they believe that the current economic conditions would help drive IT purchasing decisions higher up in an organization. And I do think that for those types of a C-level executive, something like the BVA tool is definitely going to get their attention. It's very important that IT is presented as a way to drive efficiencies and cut costs. And, you know, some C-level executives, just because of limited exposure, their perception of IT is as a cost center. You know, obviously, you know, sometimes that can be the case, but IT has, you know, it's much easier for IT to directly impact costs than, you know, maybe something like marketing or sales or a division like that. So, you know, I think that's kind of the big selling point, and I think a tool like the BVA tool can, in fact, be helpful. The important thing to do is to make sure that you present the story to these executives in business terms rather than tech terms. And you know, that's, again, that's a bit of advice that's dispensed frequently, but I think it's even more important. I am going to I did want to mention also that actually I thought this was unusual. It ties in with Jeff's presentation quite nicely. Rarely do I see mentioned in these surveys unfavorable financing mentioned as kind of an impact on IT spending, but it was a fairly significant impact for the folks that they surveyed. 23% of them said that they were going to stop their tech purchases, and 35% were going to delay due to unfavorable financing. And 14% had already canceled tech purchases, and another 10% said that they planned to cancel due to unfavorable financing terms. So actually, I found that quite interesting because, as I said, that's not something that I see typically mentioned specifically as an impact on spending. And one thing that I wanted to do, and I'm going to have to rush a little bit. I'm kind of trying to watch my time here. I know that we're going to have questions at the end. I had kind of based my list on, a lot of you may have seen this, Gartner had recently produced a list of the top 10 technologies to watch in 2009. And not so coincidentally, a lot of them do, in fact, center on IT's ability to, as I mentioned, reduce costs and actually drive additional efficiencies. And so I was just going to kind of run through those briefly and kind of maybe offer just a quick talking point on each one. And I would be happy to try to attempt to address further questions if there are any. Although I should point out I am not an expert in all of the various technologies, which may become obvious as I move along here. But number one is virtualization. And I think that is a big obvious one. A lot of folks, I think, are already kind of hip to the potential that you can use virtualization to cut costs. One thing that Gartner had specifically pointed out is that it's moving beyond servers into things like storage and desktops. And, you know, the desktop virtualization, that's the old thin client story kind of reasserting itself as it tends to do in a down economy. And they did also mention that that there are kind of less than obvious ways of cost cutting. One that they had mentioned was that you don't need a backup machine for every production machine for disaster recovery. And I think that's the kind of thing folks want to see. They want to see upfront business value. You know, the quicker the better you can show them that they achieve ROI. They also do want to see, I think, clear migration paths. And, you know, I think that's important. And as I said, with virtualization, where you're talking about perhaps starting with servers and building into other areas of the enterprise, that's also a fairly clear migration path. Cloud computing, Larry Ellison obviously didn't get to vote on the list. It's number two. Again, it seems like kind of a no-brainer. There's reduced upfront investment for folks. There's reduced management costs. It's the idea of kind of drawing on resources as you need rather than paying a premium upfront for resources. So I think all of that makes a lot of economic sense to folks. Security and uptime and migration are kind of the big trio of issues that I think need to be addressed by partners when they go in to talk to customers. Those are kind of scary from a customer's perspective. Another thing that I think is going to be important is helping people, kind of in a consulting capacity, helping people determine the appropriate mix of, you know, which applications do folks want in-house, which do they want in the cloud. You know, it's probably going to migrate toward a mix. And I think there's a lot of opportunity there in kind of really helping people figure out the piece. You know, that's a piece of the puzzle that most folks will want assistance with. Number three was servers beyond blades. My big talking point there is InfiniBand. I'm not a networking expert, but that would be allowing folks, again, to kind of select the amount of resources they want up front. Number four was SOA. And this is one that, you know, again, presenting it to a business folks, I don't think they necessarily want to know, you know, SOA and kind of hear about all this technical architecture stuff. That's you know, it's either over their head or it's just more details than they want to know. But, you know, the concept of not having to build applications from scratch every time is obviously going to be appealing to folks just from a cost reduction perspective and from a speed and agility perspective. Obviously, in, you know, kind of a down economy, you know, you want to be faster and more agile than your competitors. Again, it's always important, but now more so. Number five is enterprise mashups. And that's an interesting one, I think, because it's really contingent on presenting business-friendly examples rather than kind of, you know, everybody's seen the Google Maps cool things that you can do with mashups. But I think they're, you know, coming up with some clear business examples. You could, you know, look with sales forecasting because you can mash up data from spreadsheets with other information from some of your other applications like receivables and support histories and things like that. So I think it's coming up with the right examples for folks. Number six is specialized system. I have nothing. I have no talking points for that issue. Number seven is social networking. Again, obviously, I think the big value from a cost perspective is in allowing the dispersed teams to communicate better. You also, you know, that way you maybe can actually close some offices down, literally. You could reduce management because you're going to have more transparency. You perhaps will have less need for management resources. Number eight is unified communications. You know, that's VoIP and things like that. That started out as being kind of a cost story and kind of moved over to functionality. I think now it's nudging back into the cost column. Number nine is business intelligence. And that's important for a couple of reasons in a down economy. One is that you can help you target areas for savings. The other thing is, kind of in contrast to most of the others on this list, it deals more directly with customer-facing kind of applications. And again, if you neglect your investment in that area because you don't think, you know, you're going to be able to you know, you can't afford to spend on it, you're going to be in a very bad position when the economy comes back. You're going to have lost customers. You're going to have angered customers, perhaps creating opportunities for your competition. And then number 10, I think, is a big one from IBM's perspective because they have been very proactive in this area and done a lot of really interesting things, and that's green IT. And Gartner, one of their talking points is that for companies that don't modernize their data centers, their energy costs could double. between 2005 and 2011. And so I think that is a fairly compelling story. It plays well with cloud computing. Again, which resources do you keep in-house? Which do you perhaps put in the cloud? There's lots of new technologies that IBM has been very proactive with for cooling of data centers and so forth. I think those are confusing to customers because of the different options. And so it's very important to sort of show them comparisons or have a tool in which you can actually present savings. I believe IBM does have such, I think it's some sort of an assessment tool within the Tivoli family. And IBM obviously has built some of its own data centers using some of these technologies. So I think folks like Case Histories and Success Stories, and whether they're from a customer or from IBM itself, I think that's a really good opportunity to present that. And I think I am probably coming right up on when we wanted to open up the presentation to questions. Is that right?
Yep, it's great. Thanks, Ann.
Thank you. And to ask a question, do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. And again, that is star 1 to ask a question, and we'll pause for just a moment. Now, no one is queued up at this time. I'd like to give everyone another opportunity. If you do have a question, please press star 1 at this time. And again, we'll pause for just a moment. It appears we have no questions today, so I'd like to turn the call back over to Carl Valentino.
Great. Thanks, Vicki. And, folks, thanks again for taking the time to participate. Hopefully you've gotten some good information about how we can provide our customers a good ROI as it relates to the BBA tool. Once we give our customers the understanding of the return they can get on the investment they make with Tivoli, you know, we can work with Jeff and team to make sure that they get the financing that they need. Ann was very appreciative to Ann of participating in our call today. Obviously, as she went through the areas where IT is still spending money, you know, most of those areas are areas where Tivoli plays directly in, or at least peripherally in helping helping customers. So we've certainly got a lot of opportunity out there with where IT organizations are still spending dollars. Just want to also remind everybody as well that this week is a big week for BA. We obviously had today, and we did the this call, but we will have a call tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. That is the Tivoli, what's usually Tuesday's call, the Tivoli call around Green Data Center. David Dimson will be giving the follow-up to the Green Data Center, really the phase two review of Green, actually what Ann was just reviewing on the call, mentioning where we have great strength as being part of IBM. That will take place tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m., traditional review and call to action after that that call. It should be a great presentation. It's a build upon what David did for us in Q3 of this year. With that, I again thank you for taking the time, we can close the call out. Have a great day, great election day. Go out and vote, and have a great Q4, folks. Thank you.
And thank you very much. That does conclude our conference for today.